Good morning and welcome to the Dumpty Dog's Morning Coffee Podcast. Hope you're having a great morning, a great day, maybe a cup of coffee. And also, we might start calling this the DBMC Podcast, which is a new acronym that we discovered a few days ago. So the DBMC Podcast. And today we're going to talk about two things. One is our ongoing correspondence with Giuseppe Barzaghi, professor in theology and philosophy, and also a Dominican priest. And what we wrote to him this morning, so we'll see maybe within a few days, hopefully a couple of weeks, we're going to have a reply. But we're just following up the ideas of the ending of the sun, because this ties to a much larger argument, which goes through the whole of the Paradiso, the comedy, Dante's work, and also in some ways perhaps like centuries of history as well. So we followed up with, just going to have a few excerpts here that I was just responding to some of his points, and I'm saying here, so I'm writing in Italian, but I'm saying that I think that this to reconcile the lucidity of reason and the intensity of passion is exactly the right key in some ways for everything to ascend up to the heavens, to the divine, and also to save or to healthify, come salvare, or make healthy the culture, and also properly the individual soul and person. Like actually, as Dante is saying in Canto 15, which we have been through the last few days on this podcast, when it comes to the blessed souls in the fifth sphere of Mars, when he says there that l'affetto e il senno, like the affect and the sense or the intellect, which is appearing to you, talking to the blessed souls, as the first unity, the first kind of equalness, being like one, because of the sun that is illuminating and heating you with its warmth and with its light, that is, yes, one for you. And I'm continuing I'm trying to work on this idea of the spiritual forces, the angelical beings in Paradiso, as something real and something very important. So I'm saying here, but I keep asking myself again about the topic of the spiritual angelical forces. It seems to me that they are important as a real reality and truth, according to both Pseudo-Dionysius and also according to Dante. And not to acknowledge or recognize these levels as real forces might have begun already with Mirandola, one of those earliest humanists. I mean, this goes back way, like human hubris, arrogance, pride goes like millennia backwards, but in terms of the culture we live in today, you can trace some of these roots to the early Italian humanists, with, an, for example, Mirandola, who was only 23 years old when he wrote this big manifesto. Because he says that the humans are now at the level of the angels, and David, in the old biblical stories, was wrong. And I can continue here, like, this is a grave mistake like peccato, like a vice or like a sin. And it is perhaps in the center of this illness, the sickness in the Western world with the modernism and etc., I think. And this might then also be the key to change things and to realign the spirit, the spiritual kind of nature of humanity again with and within the transcendental truth and transcendental realm, and with for the joy of it, it could also it's hard to translate from Italian even if it's my own writing, like accendere un nuovo rinascimento, which is then a light or spark or put on fire again, a new renaissance. Con un equilibrio di ragione e fede cuore, like with an equilibrium, with a balance between the reason and the faith and the heart, e una bellezza senza limite, and a beauty without limits. And then just continue, like, maybe I am completely out of my head. Fuori della mia testa. So, let's see. That's, anyways, the argument that we are working on. It's kind of an overall argument for the whole project here with the Dante Blogs, the DBMC podcast, and also the whole idea of a new Renaissance, that a crucial element of that. We're thinking now suddenly of the idea of the forge that half of our audience posted on the other day, with like forging the elements of a new Renaissance. Like, this will be, like, if you think of this whole Dante Blogs as a bottega, as a workshop to kind of work together and create new thoughts, new ideas, to kind of see if we can find some, laying some foundation for something new that can start growing, or planting some seeds and being part of something that is already happening, but like just participating in it. Then this aspect of acknowledging, like, in your thinking, in your cosmology, that humanity is not the big frame. We are a limited part of something much bigger, and then we have to understand and align and acknowledge, and then in a positive way participate in these bigger forces. This is in many ways Dante's argument, at least according to how I am reading it now, in the Italian especially. And it also makes sense as a reality right now, and maybe it's also unusually pertinent exactly right now in the history of kind of this evolving, what should you call it, organism of kind of Western culture as well, and it's like the history of humanity at this point. Okay, so with that, we're going to change over to Paradiso and Canto 15. We're now at the speech of Cacciaguida, and this is such a beautiful little stretch we're going to go through today of six tercets, because we have these enormously high-flying, transcendent, divine truths and insights that can kind of really shake your foundations or give you these huge new insights that you might need, like, hours or days or weeks to kind of properly just digest, integrate, become familiar with. But sometimes it's just calm beauty, like, well, the things we're going to talk about today. Because now Cacciaguida, which again is Dante's great-great-grandfather, he lived about 1090 to 1148, which is about like 200 years before Dante is writing this. So the speech of Cacciaguida now goes into just the old Florence, the kind of ancient Florence that was more virtuous, and before all the wealth kind of just like bombed into Florence and made it the richest city in Europe, the richest city in the Western world, and then very quickly with like enormous power and enormous decay morally, and also then as a city. So Cacciaguida is continuing here with the good old days as he saw it then, but with like actually then a more virtuous and serene and better aligned culture and society. So we had the last tercet from previous time with Fiorenza dentro la cerchia antica, ond'ella toglie ancora terza e nona, si stava in pace sopra e pudica. So like Florence in the old ancient circle, where you still heard like the third and the ninth, meaning the morning bells and the afternoon bells from La Badia, which is a beautiful tower still today, with its own very interesting story. And then the city of Florence was just staying, remaining in peace, in soberness, and in honesty and virtue. And it continues, non avea catenella, non corona, non gonne contigiate, non cintura, che fosse a veder più che la persona. So this means here that there were no necklaces, no crowns or tiaras, no lavish gowns or belts that was more to see more than the person. Just saying that all these adornments, this kind of fancy clothing, the focus on appearances were not there yet, especially when that became more important than the character of the person. So Dante is making kind of a deep point here that when things are shifting, when Florence becomes much more rich, more wealthy, suddenly the focus changed on showing your wealth and kind of the luxury, your status, And then he's just pointing to that this is a part of shifting how you see the values from more the spiritual, the virtues, over to something superficial. And that again breeds a host of problems. So it's just contained in this little tercet, this idea that they were not yet, like, you could see their virtue shining through more clearly. And then, non faceva nascendo ancor paura la figlia al padre. So, none made at the birth yet fear in the father of the daughter. Che il tempo e la dote non fuggen quince e quindi la misura. Which the time and the dowry not escaped here and there the measure. Meaning that this was a time when it didn't create a fear in the fathers when they had a daughter, that they had to marry the daughter away quickly, and then also that they had to have a big dowry connected to that, that exceeded all reasonable limits, the kind of escaping any measure, as he says here. So it's just like, again, those times before money and wealth and luxury had started to distort things into creating expectations of, for example, that the marriage was then a huge expense for the family when you had the daughters, as that was the custom at the time. Okay, and then, non avea casa di famiglia vuota, non vera giunto ancor Sardanapalo a mostrar ciò che in camera si puote. So here he talks about a bit more like family values in a sense. So he says that you did not have the empty houses of families, which is interpreted in two ways, both that already you started to get, like, well, after Kachugida, you started to get so kind of lavish and extravagant, like these palazzi, these mansions, houses, that started to become too expensive for people. But it could also be that you did not have, to the same extent, like the creation of happy families in the houses, and then kind of the whole family structure started to fall apart. And also, not yet had you the arrival of Sardanapalo, which is an ancient king who was very famous for, let's say, very loose liberal morals when it comes to or came to the bedroom. So this is like a sexual moral decay that Dante saw also then in his that had come between Kachagrida and Dante's time as a symptom of a larger move from virtue and then to superficial lifestyles and to vices. And then also the loss of good life and happiness and virtue. And then, non era vinto ancora Montemalo dal vostro uccellatoio che come vinto nel montar su così sarà nel calo. Meaning, not yet had it won Montemalo with our uccellatoio, which is then these are two mountains, hills of Rome and of Florence. So, not yet had Florence surpassed Rome, which, like it was won in its ascent, like meaning how Florence kind of rose more quickly than Rome into the prime position of the whole of Europe and the whole world in that sense. In the same way, it will be in its fall. So it rises quickly and it will also fall quickly. And then here comes one of my favorites for some reason. I'm not sure why. Belincion Berti vidio andar cinto di cuoio e di osso e venir dallo specchio la donna sua sanza il viso dipinto. This is just a full kind of life story in this one little tercet. It's so beautifully made. It says here that this person, Belincion Berti, one of the rich people, like from one of the rich families, in Kachagrida's time, Kachagrida saw this person walking around, girded kind of around this waist, only leather with a bone, this kind of most simple form of a belt, and coming away from the mirror, his woman, his wife, without her face painted. So it's like the amount of, again, adornment, decoration, focus on the appearances, the facade was not the same. But there's something so touching about this. Maybe there's something about the morning routine that you can think of this one person who is one of the rich families then 200 years before Dante, but he is still humble and virtuous and lives a more simple lifestyle. So he gets up, he just puts on this simple belt. There's no need to kind of excessively dress up. And that is his morning. And then how his wife is just removing herself from the mirror without having put up like excessive amounts of makeup, as then again a sign of the shift of values towards the material and towards the superficial. So it's just a little story that is so kind of evocative. And then the last one for today. Vidi quel dei nerli e quel del vecchio esser contenti alla pelle scoperta e le sue donne al fuso e al pennecchio. This is another kind of like almost like domestic scene, or just like some family scenes here with two dynasties, families of the Nerli and those of the Vecchio, who are then content with just like plain leather as clothing. And the women were also doing the cloth making with and like with the loom or with the spindle and the distaff. So this was like those days where there were even the rich families then were dressing simply and they were doing the work themselves, and like the craft was in focus and more virtuous and down to earth days for Florence. So those were the six tercets we want to talk about today. So this is all just like the feeling and kind of transporting yourself into the early Florence, like the early days when Florence rose, before maybe it had yet started to rise so quickly. So just a little bit with the history, like the rise of cities, the merchant class is in many ways one of the main centers is Florence, if you think about European history now. So this comes exactly around this time with the 1100s that you have, for several reasons, but you have this gathering of people like from the countryside into cities, and then you start getting the crafts, like the wool craft is very important in Florence, and then you start getting a whole new class. Instead of just having aristocrats and peasants, you're starting to get the merchant class who gain enormous amounts of wealth very quickly because of the trade that they can start doing more efficiently in kind of gathered centers like the cities. And then you also get the banking quickly after that. So what we are like, what you could think of here is like those times before this starts, and then this suddenly happens between Cacciaguida and Dante. But also just remember that Florence becomes kind of the supreme world power in the Western world in during this time. Now Florence is like a small city, it's like 150,000 people or so. It's a tourist city of just beauty and like the wisdom of the old Renaissance, and with a very like contained role as more like a history book. If you arrive with the train to Florence and you start seeing this cupola of Brunelleschi, it's really like traveling into a history book centuries ago, where everything is contained and preserved more or less as it were then. But what Dante is describing is this explosive growth of a superpower and the extraordinary decay that happens, like politically, morally, the corruption, the violence, the civil wars, and all of this that kind of ensues after this sudden growth of wealth and the failure to manage this properly for Florence as a culture and as a city at that time. So he's just setting up this contrast, Dante, here, that he's pointing to the roots of Florence. Okay, so that was almost exactly 20 minutes. So just going to leave it there with this little image of serene, tranquil, peaceful, beautiful, virtuous Florence in the early 1100s. And with that, hope some of this was interesting, some food for thought, and some evocative images of old times. And as always, hope you enjoyed some of this, and see you next time.